A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one, and it's a practical one. He and Hannah just went through a brutal apartment move, and the Eurobox system was the unexpected hero. Now he's looking at the last piece of the puzzle. He's got Euroboxes on Europallets, a generously sized elevator in the new building, and one more move likely in the near term. The question is, what gear bridges the gap between a pallet stacked in the apartment and a U-Haul truck? A pallet jack seems like the obvious answer, but does it actually make sense for an apartment move where the gear has to live in your closet between uses? And if not a pallet jack, then what?
This is exactly the kind of question that rewards going deep on the specs. Because the pallet jack is the obvious candidate, it's literally designed to move pallets, but the moment you look at where it's designed to operate, the cracks start showing. Literal cracks, actually. We'll get to that.
I want to sit with the inside Daniel landed on first, because it's the thing that makes the whole question worth asking. He noticed that the key to making a move manageable isn't lighter boxes, it's fewer trips. Consolidating four boxes onto one pallet cuts the back and forth by 75%, and his observation that pushing a pallet isn't much harder than pushing a single box is, I think, the core physics insight here. Once you overcome static friction, the weight difference matters less than you'd think.
That's right, and this is where the Eurobox system really earns its keep. Let me lay out the dimensions because they matter for everything that follows. A EUR pallet, per the standard EN13698:1, is 1200 millimeters by 800 millimeters, roughly 48 by 32 inches. A standard Eurobox is 600 by 400 millimeters at the base. Four of them fit perfectly on one pallet layer. Depending on box height, you can stack 8 to 12 boxes per pallet. A fully loaded pallet of books and kitchen goods might weigh somewhere around 400 pounds. That's substantial, but is not industrial scale heavy. A standard manual pallet jack is rated for 2200 to 5500 pounds, so capacity-wise, it's barely waking up.
Which is almost a point in its favor, right? You're not stressing the equipment at all.
Sure, but the capacity isn't the problem. The problem is everything else about a pallet jack. Let me walk through the anatomy. A standard manual pallet jack has two forks that slide under the pallet, a hydraulic pump handle that raises those forks 3 to 8 inches off the ground, two load wheels at the tip of each fork, and two steering wheels near the handle. To insert the forks, you need about 3 to 4 inches of clearance under the pallet. EUR pallets have bottom boards with roughly 3.5 inches of clearance, so they fit. That part works.
Then you try to move it.
The pallet jack itself weighs somewhere between 100 and 150 pounds. The Vestal PTH55 Foinrod, which is a pretty standard model you can get on Amazon for about $250, weighs 115 pounds empty. Its footprint is roughly 48 by 27 inches. It does not fold. It does not compact. It does not tuck neatly behind a door. It is a permanent garage fixture.
We're already at the first disqualifier for a lot of apartment dwellers. You're trading one storage problem for another.
We haven't even gotten to the wheels yet. This is where the apartment reality check really bites. Pallet jacks are designed for flat warehouse floors. Smooth concrete, no transitions, no thresholds. The load wheels are typically 2 inches in diameter, made of polyurethane or nylon. They're small and hard. Apartment hallways have thresholds between units and the corridor. Elevators have a gap between the floor and the car, sometimes a quarter inch, sometimes more. Carpet, tile transitions, the little metal strip where two flooring materials meet. A 2-inch wheel hitting a 1/2-inch threshold at an angle is going to stop dead.
I'm picturing a 400-pound pallet of books hitting an elevator gap and the whole thing juddering to a halt while you're frantically pumping the handle trying to get enough clearance to shove it forward.
That's exactly the scenario. And then there's the turning radius. A standard pallet jack needs about 6 feet of turning space to maneuver a loaded pallet. A typical apartment hallway is 36 to 42 inches wide. You cannot turn a loaded pallet jack in an apartment hallway. You'd have to line it up perfectly from the start and push it straight, which means you need a clear shot from the apartment door to the elevator, with no corners, no door frames to navigate around, and enough clearance to get the pallet out the apartment door in the first place.
The pallet, Jack, is a warehouse animal that we're trying to domesticate for apartment living, and it's not going well.
It's a thoroughbred racehorse being asked to navigate a studio apartment kitchen. It's not that it can't move. It's that everything it's good at is irrelevant, and everything it's bad at is the entire job.
Here's the thing that keeps me from dismissing it outright. Daniel mentioned that the new building has a generously sized elevator. That changes some of the math. If the apartment door opens onto a wide corridor that leads straight to a big elevator, and the elevator opens near the loading area, suddenly the turning radius problem might not matter. You might genuinely have a straight shot.
That's fair. And if the floor surfaces are continuous, no thresholds, no carpet, just smooth hallway tile all the way, the wheel problem diminishes too, but you're still left with the storage problem and the cost problem. Let's talk cost. A new manual pallet jack runs $200 to $500 for a basic model. That Vestal one mentioned is $249 on Amazon. Used ones on Facebook Marketplace or Craigslist go for $50 to $150. But here's the thing. U-Haul rents pallet jacks for $15 to $30 a day. For a single move, the rental math is a no-brainer. You get the capability without the 115-pound paperweight in your closet for the next 3 years.
That rental price is almost absurdly low compared to the purchase cost. $15 to not have to store a pallet jack? That's the easiest decision in this entire episode.
It really is. And I think that's the baseline answer for the pallet jack question. If you're doing one move, rent it. If you're doing a move every year or two and you have a garage, buying used for $100 starts to make sense. But for Daniel's situation, one, maybe two moves in the next 5 years, living in an apartment, the pallet jack is not the right tool.
If the pallet jack is overkill, what actually works? Let's walk through the alternatives.
The first and most obvious alternative is the four-wheel furniture dolly. These are the flat wooden or plastic platforms with a carpeted top and four swivel casters. Standard size is 24 by 36 inches. They cost $30 to $60, weigh 10 to 15 pounds, and carry 500 to 1,000 pounds. You can store one vertically in a closet. It's the sensible, practical option that most people reach for.
It doesn't fit a EUR pallet.
It doesn't fit a EUR pallet. The pallet is 48 by 32 inches. The dolly is 24 by 36. You can't set a full pallet on it. The footprint doesn't match. You could put two dollies under one pallet, but now you're trying to coordinate two independently swiveling platforms, and the pallet isn't secured to either of them. It's unstable, and it defeats the consolidation benefit.
The standard dolly works great for moving a stack of Euro boxes without a pallet, but the moment you introduce the pallet into the system, the dolly becomes the wrong shape.
Which brings us to the pallet dolly, sometimes called a pallet skate. These are low-profile platforms with swivel casters designed specifically to sit under a pallet. Products like the Pallet Mover or EZ Mover have capacities of 1,000 to 3,000 pounds, cost $80 to $200, and are only 2 to 3 inches tall. They're basically a dolly shaped for a pallet.
That sounds almost perfect. What's the catch?
The catch is, you have to lift the pallet to get the dolly under it. There's no hydraulic lift. It's a passive platform. So you've got a 400-pound loaded pallet sitting on the floor, and you need to tilt it or jack it up somehow to slide this thing underneath. That's not trivial. With a pallet jack, you pump the handle and the forks do the lifting. With a pallet dolly, you're doing the lifting yourself or using a separate jack.
You'd need a pallet jack to get the pallet onto the pallet dolly, which kind of defeats the purpose.
Or you load the pallet onto the dolly while it's empty, then stack the boxes. That works for the departure end, but not the arrival end, unless you're unloading boxes individually at the destination, which is what the pallet was supposed to avoid.
This is starting to feel like one of those puzzles where every solution creates a new problem.
Welcome to moving logistics. But there are a couple more options worth looking at. One is the mini pallet jack. The LiftRight mini pallet jack, for example, has an 1,100-pound capacity, 22-inch fork length instead of the standard 48, and weighs 75 pounds. It costs around $300 to $400. The shorter forks mean a tighter turning radius, better for hallways, and it's lighter to maneuver. But it still doesn't fold, it still weighs 75 pounds, and it still has the same small wheel problem on uneven surfaces.
It's a pallet jack that's slightly less inconvenient to store and slightly more maneuverable, but it's not solving the fundamental apartment problem.
The more interesting option, and the one I think comes closest to what Daniel's actually looking for, is the folding pallet dolly. There's a product from a brand called Pallet Jack, confusingly named since it's not a jack at all. That's essentially a dolly with a built-in ramp. You roll the pallet onto it and it folds flat to 4 inches thick when not in use. Capacity is 660 pounds. It costs about $150. That 4-inch folded profile means it can slide behind a door or under a bed.
$150, folds flat, handles 660 pounds. That's a compelling set of numbers. How do you get the pallet onto it without a jack?
That's the ramp part. You tip the pallet slightly, slide the dolly under one edge, and then use the ramp to lever it on. It's not effortless, but it's designed to be doable by one person with a moderately loaded pallet. And 660 pounds covers a lot of home goods. That's roughly 16 Euroboxes of books, which is more than most people are moving in one pallet load.
We've got a candidate, but let me pull back for a second and ask what the actual bottleneck is in the move process Daniel described, because I think that determines which tool matters most.
The move has several phases. Phase 1 is consolidating boxes onto pallets in the apartment. That happens days before the move, no equipment needed except maybe some ratchet straps. Phase 2 is moving the loaded pallet from the apartment to the elevator, out of the building, and to the truck. Phase 3 is loading the pallet onto the truck. Phase 4 is the reverse at the destination.
Daniel mentioned they'd use a moving company for the actual transport, so Phase 3 and 4 might be handled by movers with their own equipment. The piece he's trying to solve is Phase 2, apartment door to truck, a distance of maybe 50 to 200 feet.
That distance breaks down further. You've got the apartment interior, probably smooth flooring, tight doorways, then the hallway, possibly carpeted, possibly with thresholds, then the elevator, with its gap and its weight limits, then the lobby, probably tile or concrete, then the sidewalk, with cracks, uneven sections, maybe a curb, then the truck ramp or lift gate.
Each surface wants a different wheel.
The pallet jack with its small hard wheels is great on the lobby tile and terrible on the sidewalk. A pneumatic tired dolly, like an appliance dolly, handles sidewalk cracks beautifully but doesn't fit a pallet footprint. A furniture dolly with swivel casters is maneuverable indoors but catches on every threshold and crack outdoors.
There's no single tool that's optimal across all those surfaces. You're either compromising somewhere or using multiple tools.
Which is why I think the right answer for Daniel's situation is actually a combination approach. Buy the folding pallet dolly for $150. It handles the indoor portion, the elevator, and the lobby. It stores flat. For the sidewalk and the rough terrain between the building and the truck, rent a pallet jack on move day for $30. Use the pallet jack for the outdoor segment where its wheels are adequate and its hydraulic lift makes loading onto the truck easy. And use the folding dolly for the indoor segment where maneuverability and threshold crossing matter more.
That's a $30 rental and a $150 purchase. Total cost $180, and the only thing you're storing long-term is a 4-inch thick folding platform. That feels like the sweet spot.
Here's the thing about the U-Haul truck that makes this all work. U-Haul offers a liftgate option for about $30 extra. If you can get the pallet to the back of the truck, the liftgate handles the vertical. You're not trying to push a loaded pallet up a ramp, which is dangerous with 400 pounds. The liftgate eliminates the hardest part of loading.
The entire system is consolidate boxes onto pallets in the apartment days ahead. Strap them down with ratchet straps. On move day, use the folding pallet dolly to wheel each pallet through the apartment and hallway and elevator. Switch to the rented pallet jack for the sidewalk and lift gate loading, and then the movers handle the rest.
The ratchet straps are not optional. A shifted load on a dolly is worse than no dolly at all. You've now got 400 pounds of boxes sliding off a moving platform in an elevator. A set of ratchet straps costs $15 and prevents that entire category of disaster.
I want to talk about the psychological comfort angle Daniel mentioned, because I think it's underrated in these discussions. He said there's a comfort in how well the system fits together. That's not just aesthetic satisfaction, it's the reduction of cognitive load during an inherently stressful event. when you know the boxes fit the pallet, and the pallet fits the dolly, and the dolly fits through the door, you're not making decisions about how to carry things on move day. You're executing a plan.
That's a clinical observation, actually. Decision fatigue during a move is real. You're already exhausted, you're making hundreds of micro-decisions about what goes where, and adding, how do I get this stack of boxes from point A to point B to that load, is what tips people into the kind of exhaustion where they start making mistakes. The system eliminates those decisions.
I think there's something else. Daniel mentioned that doing a lot of the haul themselves was exhausting, but the consolidation made it manageable. There's a dignity in being able to handle your own move, or at least significant parts of it, rather than being entirely dependent on movers for every box. The gear enables a kind of self-sufficiency.
That's the archery principle, actually. The right equipment doesn't do the work for you, it makes the work you do effective. A bow doesn't shoot the arrow for you, but a well-tuned bow means your effort translates into accuracy instead of frustration.
There it is. I was wondering how long before the archery metaphor showed up.
You knew it was coming.
But it works here. So let's put a pin in the recommendation and then zoom out. The folding pallet dolly plus rental pallet jack is the answer for the specific scenario. But I'm curious about the edge cases. What happens when you don't have an elevator?
That's where the whole pallet system gets challenged. Stairs break the consolidation model. A loaded pallet doesn't go up or down stairs. You'd need a stair-climbing dolly, and those are designed for appliances and single heavy items, not pallet-sized platforms. If you're in a walk-up, the Euro boxes are still great for organization and durability, but you're probably carrying them individually or using a hand truck with stair climbers for stacks of two or three.
The pallet becomes a staging tool rather than a transport tool. You consolidate on the pallet near the door, then break it down for the stair section, then reconsolidate at the truck.
Which is more work, but still less work than not having the system at all. The boxes stack securely in the truck either way. The pallet just doesn't help with the vertical when there's no elevator.
What about the moving industry? Are we seeing any signs that companies are adapting to this kind of approach?
There are moving companies now offering palletized moving as a premium service. They drop off pallets and a pallet jack, you load the pallets at your own pace over several days, and they show up with a truck with a lift gate and move the loaded pallets. It's more expensive than a standard move, but cheaper than full-service packing and moving. And it eliminates the time pressure of move day, you're not racing to get everything into boxes while the movers wait.
That model seems like it would appeal to exactly the kind of person who's already invested in Euroboxes. You've done the organizing work, you just need the heavy lifting.
I think that's a trend that's going to grow as more people adopt modular storage systems for their homes. The Eurobox standard was designed for industrial logistics, but it solves exactly the problems that make residential moves miserable. Mismatched containers, fragile boxes, inefficient packing. As the home user adoption grows, the service industry will follow.
The recommendation, to be explicit, for Daniel's situation. Apartment with elevator, 1 to 2 moves in the next 5 years. Euro boxes on Euro pallets. Buy the folding pallet dolly for about $150. Buy ratchet straps for $15. And rent a pallet jack on move day for $30. Total investment, $195. And a 4-inch thick item stored behind a door.
If you can't find that specific folding dolly, the fallback is 2 standard furniture dollies positioned under the pallet, with the understanding that you'll need to be more careful about stability. It's not ideal, but it works in a pinch.
The real optimization here is the one Daniel already identified, reduce trips. The pallet system gives you a 4-to-1 consolidation. The marginal gain from a pallet jack versus a folding dolly is small compared to the gain from pallets versus carrying individual boxes. Don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good enough that you can actually store in your apartment.
The worst outcome is buying a full-size pallet jack, using it once, and then tripping over it in your garage for 5 years while it slowly rusts. The best moving gear is the gear you actually deploy. A folding dolly that lives behind the door and comes out on move day is infinitely more valuable than a pallet jack that seemed like a good idea at the time.
One thing we haven't touched on, what about a convertible hand truck? The kind that switches between a 2-wheel upright and a 4-wheel cart?
Those are versatile, and they handle stairs better than anything with four fixed casters, but the platform on a convertible hand truck is typically around 18 by 24 inches, nowhere near the 48 by 32 of a EUR pallet. You'd be moving two or three boxes at a time instead of 4 to 8. It's a step up from carrying individual boxes, but it doesn't preserve the consolidation benefit.
It's a different tool for a different job. If you're not using pallets at all, a convertible hand truck with stair climbers is probably the best single moving tool you can own. But once you commit to the pallet system, you need pallet scale equipment.
That's the trade-off. And it's worth making explicit, the Eurobox and pallet system is an investment in a particular workflow. It's not the cheapest option up front. A dozen Euroboxes and two pallets and a folding dolly and straps is probably $300 to $400 all in. But it pays back in reduced damage to your belongings, reduced physical exhaustion on move day, and reduced time. For people who move frequently or who have valuable items that need protection, it's a rational investment.
There's a resale dimension too. Euroboxes and pallets hold their value. You can sell them when you're done moving. Try reselling a stack of used cardboard boxes.
You'll get approximately $0 and a lot of strange looks on Facebook Marketplace.
To land this, the pallet jack is the wrong tool for apartment moves unless you have a garage and move every year. The folding pallet dolly is the right tool for the indoor to elevator segment. The rental pallet jack fills the gap for the outdoor to truck segment. And the whole system works because the consolidation into fewer trips is what actually reduces the misery of moving.
The open question I'd leave with is stairs. The pallet system breaks down when there's no elevator. Is there a stair-climbing dolly that works with Euro pallets, or is that a genuine gap in the market? Because as more people adopt these systems for home use, someone's going to solve that problem. And whoever does is going to make a lot of movers very happy.
That's the thing to watch. In the meantime, rent the pallet jack, buy the folding dolly, and for the love of everything, buy the ratchet straps.
Now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
In the 1920s, linguists documenting Inuktitut in the Canadian Arctic discovered that a single word, Kangatasuoku Vimuira Kalaktunga, could express the idea, I'll have to go to the airport, packing an entire clause's worth of grammatical relationships into one verb through polysynthetic morphology. But here's the anomaly. When speakers from different camps were asked to break the word into its constituent parts, they consistently disagreed about where one morpheme ended and the next began, suggesting that even native speakers process these words as gestalt units rather than assembled sequences.
The word is a single unit in the brain, even though linguists can diagram it into 20 pieces. That's actually fascinating.
The brain treats it like a melody, not a sentence.
This has been my weird prompts. Thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flemingtop. If you enjoyed this episode, send your own weird prompt to show at myweirdprompts.com. We're back next week.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosts dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too, from half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time, stay curious, keep weird in mind.